This is Patrick Twiddle, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 37, Acceptance. What happens when you're outside? So today, we're going to be talking about acceptance. And I think we're going to take you guys back on a little bit of a journey. That journey is probably going to start sometime in calendar year 2012. But before I do that, I'm going to open up with a quote. The quote basically says, "We cannot change anything unless we accept it." And so for me, where this journey is going to start, kind of just to give our listeners a little bit of a segue into what we're going to talk about and why it's so important. This is when I left the U.S. and I actually went to Peru basically to start a project down there and to live down there back in 2012. And kind of some of the things that I encountered along with my special guest that's on the line with us today. We're going to talk to some of those things because he's got a unique backstory as well. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump in to introduce our special guest. His name is Patrick Twiddle. He's a senior executive with 13 years of experience working on large mining projects and industrial operational projects. Patrick specializes in procurement with a solid background in material management. He's highly skilled local and international purchase negotiation, bid packages, formalization, capital equipment management, commercial bids, reviews and recommendations, contract awards, executions, as well as material expenditures, has led Patrick through many, many successful projects. Patrick is also fluent in English and Spanish with a knowledge of not only what goes on here in America, but also Peruvian international work vendors, consultants, and overall industry market. Patrick's held several supply chain management roles as well as senior buyer and material expediting roles. Patrick has worked on probably over $10 billion of EPC and CapEx projects, experience in engineering resulting in doubling Peru copper's production over the last 5 years. As I've mentioned, he's been a senior buyer. He's been a senior procurement specialist. He's been a procurement and logistics manager. He's been an expediter. He's been a procurement specialist. He's been a project manager. He's been a buyer. Patrick holds a bachelor's of business from the University of Peru, postgraduate degree in project management and quality. Overall, to our listeners, Patrick is adaptive to change. He also believes in tailoring to address to new challenges. He's an out-of-the-box thinker. He has a wide experience in leading teams under project environments. He understands the customer's needs, expectations from a project environment perspective. He's focused on project delivery, risk assessment, safety, good ethical practice, and value creation. So, Patrick, you know, sometimes people go, "My God, man, Greg, you did a horrible job in introducing me." So let's hear what you have to say, Patrick.
Hi, Greg. No, you. I'm so happy to be here and to share my experiences with you and in the audience. No, that was quite the introduction. So, this experience that I have in projects, I mean, it's all about the people. I mean, everything flows through the people, you know. I mean, in all these years of experience, I've got to meet so many interesting people. I made lots of friends, and we met. That's how we met each other. So, and I'm so happy to be here and share this experience and just to share this knowledge and make sure that people understand that. I mean, it's all about people, you know. And we may come from different backgrounds, but I guess there's so many things that can bring you forward and create this relationship. Lots of times it's just professional, but many times you cross that bound and you make excellent friendships. So this interaction, I mean, it's only possible through people and through different cultures and people coming from other parts of the world. So, I mean, that's how I enjoy doing what I do, and it's a very important ingredient to life, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and certainly that's a great opener into kind of my first question, is because, you know, for me, you know, one of the things that we kind of collaborated on, you know, is project, you know, the project acumen, the perspective of, you know, project deliverance, where you and I were kind of put into the same fold of being able to kind of help a large mining project there in Peru. And, you know, I remember basically, you know, and I'm going to take the audience back a little bit, because I kind of said in the segue opening, you know, back in 2012, you know, I was leaving the U.S., never had an opportunity to visit Peru. Was one of the countries that you know, it was just wasn't on the radar at the time. I'd worked all over the world, but here it was, you know, I came into this environment, being a senior project controls specialist, and, you know, faced with challenges and faced with a lot of adversity, and not necessarily knowing how well I was going to be accepted, you know, when I got down there. And so I remember the very first time that you and I met, and this is kind of comical, because, you know, people are going to be like, oh my God, you know, what happened, you know, with this whole story. So I figured it'd be good to kind of share this, because this is all about acceptance, right? And so I'm in Peru, my very first day there, you know, I'm trying to get settled in, you know, go over to the office. I meet a couple of my constituents and colleagues, and basically, you know, just trying to, you know, learn the lay of the land. And of course, at the time, I didn't know Spanish at all. I mean, I had like no, not even the basic Spanish. And so it was fortunate enough for me, you know, that I ended up meeting Martin, and I met you earlier on. And I recall the very first time that you and I had gone out to lunch. And when we came back to my apartment where I was staying, the place was, you know, our neighbor was like screaming at us. And I was looking at you and I was like, hey, Patrick, what are they saying? What are they saying? And you were telling me, you were saying, Greg, they're saying there's water coming from your apartment because it's flooding their apartment. And I was like, what do you mean there's water coming from the apartment? I'm like, there's nobody living in the apartment but me. And you and I scurry upstairs, and we're like searching the bathrooms, and we're searching everywhere. And we're like, where's this water coming from? And then you told me, you're like, hey, Greg, there's a service area in the back. And I was like, service area? What do you mean by that? It's like, you know, when you have people come to your house and clean. I'm like, there's nobody coming in here to clean. So you took me back there, and we were like looking. We peeked into the bathroom. And there's like water everywhere. I'm like, oh,
there was lots of it.
I was like, oh my God, where is that coming from? We look in the shower, and basically the shower was leaking. And the first thing I said to you is, I was like, man, where's the pipes? And you're like, the pipe is in the wall. And I looked at you, and you said, yeah, they're in the wall. And I'm like, seriously? In the concrete wall? You guys put pipes in the concrete wall? So my exposure at the time to the building acumens that were going on in Peru, and how things actually, I was getting firsthand exposure like within a couple days of what life was going to be like for me. So that was pretty funny, you know.
I mean there was a waterfall on the top of the side, and it. I mean, it was hilarious. I remember that episode. I mean, it was, we fixed the problem. We got someone over there. We got we got help from the reception, and we called. I mean, the tenant got help, and then we solved that. So yeah, it's some of those different aspects. You know, it's every the pipes. It's all embedded in the concrete, so it's. That was like a shocker. I mean, because it's kind of harder to get into, but I mean, it got solved. So, and then we hit a couple of beers and we laughed about it, and then we're still laughing about it about 7 years later. So, But that was quite the ordeal, and I remember your face, and I was happy to be there and help you out, just to talk to these guys and straighten things out, and get things on the right path and get it resolved. So that was quite an experience, and I've been in a couple of those myself at home, so it's a recurring problem. Every off and on, so it's something that happens in Peru.
right.
But anyway, yeah. So not to
segue your thought there, but certainly, you know, I think for me, the first opportunity of realizing that, you know, I had somebody in my court was really kind of, you know, for me, it was somewhat comforting, because, it was like, man, I'm going to need like a translator, at least to kind of make sure I'm getting my bearings and everything kind of in order to be able to move forward. And then eventually, as time progressed, I got better, start picking up, enough Spanish to keep myself out of trouble and then so forth and so on. But overall, I think in the beginning there, it was totally like a fish being out of water. I mean, it was a real shock factor for all these things starting to happen so quickly within the first couple of days of being there, tell our audience, with you being, so fluent in English and in Spanish, how did that come about? I think just from you and I being friends, your mom is from America and your dad is Peruvian. Walk us through that story kind of at a high level, because I mean, you've got kind of the best of both worlds, when it comes to having that type of diversity,
Yes, I'm so blessed in so many ways. And I got some amazing parents. I have an amazing family. I'm an American Peruvian. I always say, well, I have two homes. I mean, I left the United States, and I left Peru, and I always stick and defend both countries and wherever possible. So. I got that that diversity in cultures. I mean, my dad being Peruvian, my mom being from the United States, and how they met each other and how they ended up in Peru, obviously, and I was raised here, but with American values, and just in a nutshell, I mean, my dad being in the military, so that's how they met in the States, improving the military. He was a general in the Air Force, and my mom worked in Washington at that time in a government job. So that's kind of how they met and how I kind of wound up in Peru. So that's part of it, and I'm blessed as well with my family, and I'm married a Peruvian, and I'm teaching my two beautiful daughters English. So I mean, what you learn and you cherish, you share that with the people that you love. So that's one way to look at it, and you want to keep things going, and you want to make people feel that what you've experienced is a good thing, and that you should share. So that's how I feel, and that's in with my kids, and it brings so many opportunities. If you have an open mind, diversity, and you speak more than one language, and you open up and you see things differently, so that's very important. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so it's I'm very happy that that I'm doing that for my kids. So
yeah, well, that's great, man. I mean, you know, that's certainly some of the things that, you know, for as long as we've been friends, you know, it's always been very genuine. You know, the diversity aspect, as you've mentioned, has just been a component of that. But, you know, culturally, we've been able to kind of look and experience things from one another, unlike, you know, probably most friends would do. Because even though I'm here in the U.S. and you're still living in Peru, it's like, you know, when I come to Peru, you know, we're always trying to make sure we find time to have lunch, have dinner, have a beer, catch up, reminisce, and you know, and all those things kind of intertwine into that bond of acceptance and making sure that, you know, something, you know, that you're creating there, that like that framework, that foundation just continues to build, you know. And it's funny because one of the things I'm going to share with the audience is, you know, Patrick is like a brother to me. I mean, because, you know, Patrick and I pretty much, I think I want to say at least every week or biweekly, you know, we're back and forth on WhatsApp, you know, and various things like that, just keeping up with one another. Because, you know, one of the goals for me and my wife is really to kind of go back to Peru and live there. You know, I love that country just as much as I love the U.S. And certainly, you know, Patrick has been very influential in saying, hey, Greg, you know, these opportunities are coming up, you know, you should take a look and see, you know, if you're interested in these opportunities, maybe it gives you an avenue to be able to move back. And, you know, just having friends like that, you know, not only domestically, but abroad, you know, that speaks very, very highly of the acceptance. And so, Patrick, let's talk a little bit about, you know, here it is, I'm down there as a consultant, and I wasn't expecting to stay, you know, beyond like February, because I was down there for like 2 months, from like December to February of 2013. And so I remember you and I were talking every day, just trying to get me up to speed on the culture and get my, you know, get my head in the game. But the benefit was for me is I knew that there was an inroad. And I remember to the day where I came back to you on the day that I'm getting ready, I'm supposed to be flying out, and our customer goes, well, we want you to stay. And I'm looking at you going, man, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay down here and pull this project out of the toilet or not. And then eventually I made the decision to stay. And then it was just then at that point, I was trying to figure out, okay, now I've got to figure out ways not only to try to learn enough Spanish to get me over the hump, but I've got to find a way to keep people influenced and engaged and motivated so that I have a team around me that we all have, you know, a common goal towards achieving what we have to achieve. Because, you know, let's face it, that project was in somewhat of disarray, that gotten behind by 6 months, and things were just kind of, you know, really starting to take shape as they were bringing on more and more people to try to get some organization. So do you recall any of that?
Yeah, I sure do. And I remember how that project health was at that time. And then, and the first thing you said that you mentioned was about, yeah, you weren't sure that you were going to stay any longer. And now you can look back and you can say, hey, look, I'm really happy I did. So, mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's, all that, I mean, good things good things will always come out of decisions, good decisions and positive, ideas that you have, and these challenges that when they have these outcomes, if you always have a positive mindset, good things will happen to you. And that's, I'm really happy that you mentioned that, because you made a decision, you didn't know at that time that how things were going to go, but you made that decision, but you were confident that things would go out, flow in a good direction. So, I mean, you stayed focused and you sucked up all these ideas, and you embraced this situation, the culture, and look where you're at now. And looking back, I mean, for your audience, if you're trying to if you have the shift in life that you have to make a decision, go out. I mean, yeah, go take a leap, go for it, but always stay focused and learn as much as you can. Always have a plan. Be strategic. You know, have a plan and follow up with that plan. And I guess the one of the most important parts is, I mean, just to embrace the change and generate ideas and things that once you're in that situation and you've started your first steps, just to keep on the right path. So, and always inspire yourself and find people that are positive and help you in that and to get that motivation and also, I mean, be thankful that things were they're at and how and when people help you out and just be, I mean, overall be thankful. I mean, that's very important, you know, and to share. I mean, once you've stepped up and moving forward in this new challenge, and I mean, once you find people that have the same ideas as you and you're able to share things, I mean, people like that, and that's the whole idea, you know. That's very important. Just stay focused. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think by you mentioning stay focused, I mean, it became to me at the time, you know, with your support and a few other people that I knew there that spoke English. And of course, you know, with all of the Aussies there that spoke English, it became extremely important for me to see that project succeed in the right capacity, because you know they had already gotten off to a bad start, and you know, you needed to make up time, you needed to mend the relationships with your customer, and you needed to basically honor your promises. And so when I stepped up to that challenge, it was like, you know, I tried to ensure for me, not only was I accepted, but you know, I had people that would believe in the vision that I had to be able to get this project back on the rails and kind of move it in a direction that they would have success. And, you know, I'm gonna share with our audience one other thing, because in the beginning, you know, I'm meeting people, they're talking to me, some knew English, some knew Spanish, and some didn't know any English. But here's the ironic thing behind it. I came up with this idea because you know, Patrick mentioned, you know, stick with it, right? So I came up with this idea. Well, like every Thursday, I would go across the street to, I forget the name of the grocery store chain that was there. But I would go and buy, remember Patrick, I would buy like 2-3 bags of candy, and I would go up and down, you know, the floors that we're on. I would open up the bag of candy and basically tell people, look, hey, you know, get what you want, man. We appreciate your service. We appreciate your time. And then, you know, eventually after doing that for, I don't know, I think it was like 3, maybe 4 weeks, every Thursday, people just got accustomed to me, you know, going across the street, getting candy and taking the time out to be able to go by everybody's desk and show a token of appreciation. And it wasn't like I was trying to build brownie points. It was just based on the fact of me trying to connect with an environment and with people that, you know, otherwise, you know, being a staff manager at the time, I probably would have never had that opportunity to do that. And so I thought, you know, like I said, it was kind of my duty to really try to figure out how to engage. And, you know, those relationships, as you stated, you know, those relationships have been forever, you know, yarning, you know, with regards to since I've left Peru and I've been here in the U.S., I mean, a lot of my friends and colleagues from down there, you know, we still stay in contact, just like you and I. And, you know, all of that acceptance, you know, for me, considering the fact of, you know, what happens when you're on the outside trying to get inside, you know, it just brought things to kind of a fruitional point with me where it's like, man, you know, be yourself, you know, embrace the moment, you know, like you said, you know, be focused on what's in front of you and whatever challenges may lie ahead, and just accept those things kind of head on. And, you know, I also want to say that I, you know, ended up marrying a very beautiful, lovely lady, which Patrick and our families all know each other, and fell in love with the food as well as the pisco. And you know, it's probably a good thing we're not drinking any of those right now. I can only imagine where the story would be going. But anyway, you know, the cultural of Peru really took hold of me, and it helped bring me back to some type of solidarity and grounded my life based on, you know, what it was before I got to Peru. And I'm greatly appreciative of that experience. I'm greatly appreciative of you, Patrick, and everybody that I met down there, because you guys are like family now, you know, and that's important to me. Yeah.
Yes, great. Yeah, it's the little things that matter, you know, and it's very important, and always keep track of that. And I mean, and also, I mean, what better way to fall in love with a country, and it's through food, you know. That's a very important aspect as well. And in Peru, I mean, we're the new mecca of gastronomy and food, and it's such a diversity, and it's so cool. And I mean, you have two restaurants that are in the top 50 list of Will and Reed. Yep. And you got three restaurants, I mean, overseas with Peruvian food cuisine. It's with Michelin stars. So that's one of the ways that you can bond. It's through people. It's sharing their culture and the food, and sitting at a table and talking to each other. So that's so important. And yeah. I'm happy I share this. I was able to share this with you here and with your audience. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we begin to wrap up, Patrick, you have any closing remarks for our listeners?
Yes. Always keep an open mind, and mm-hmm. and it's stay positive. That's the most important thing. I mean, it's and the small things that matter, and things won't happen if you don't let them happen. So
sure.
That would be my top three picks for this this topic. So
yeah.
And hope for the best.
Well, yeah. Well, look, you know, certainly you know, like I said, man, you're like a brother, man. You know, I've always respected our time and our conversation, and I will continue to cherish those moments, you know, for as long as ever. And like I said in my opening remarks with the quote, we cannot change anything unless we accept it. And so if there's anything that came out of this conversation, you know, for me, being a fish out of water, you know, as they say in Peru, you know, yo gringo americano, you know, I embraced the opportunity of the country, the heritage, the people, the cuisine, the pisco. I mean, you know, I just embraced it. I became a native there. And, you know, I accepted that in such a way that, you know, as we talked about, what happens when you're on the outside, to me, to finish off that statement, it really is what you make of it. You know, it's, you know, if you're engaged, then it's going to turn out positive. If you disengage, then, you know, things will turn out wherever they turn out. But, you know, with everything being stated, Patrick, we appreciate it. We thank you for your time. I'm Greg
Pleasure.
Proctor. This is episode 37. We certainly wish everybody a safe and prosperous day. And hopefully, you know, this world will get a little bit better. So, Patrick, we're going to say goodbye. Thank you again, buddy.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
All right, man. Take
care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.